Please turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, we want to read verses 17 and 18 to introduce our lesson. These are statements that the Lord included in his great Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. Jesus said, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." In these verses, Jesus expressed his unwavering belief in the Scriptures. Specifically, he mentioned the law, that is the law of Moses. He also mentioned the writings of the prophets. Jesus did not come to destroy the Old Testament Scriptures. Rather, he came to fulfill, even though it cost him his life, because the Old Testament Scriptures predicted that our Lord would lose his life. And that's exactly what happened, and Jesus came to fulfill that. I believe our Lord was expressing his unwavering belief and confidence in the Old Testament Scriptures. Because Jesus believed the Scriptures, he was able to answer a question that Job asked many years before Jesus came to earth in the flesh. And that question was, "If a man die, shall he live again?" That's in Job 14 and verse 14. Jesus answered that question during his ministry, even though it was many years after Job originally asked that very important question. You see, it deals with the afterlife. During his ministry, as we pointed out this morning in our lesson, Jesus taught that the dead will be raised. He made that very clear. Now, for a little while this evening in our lesson, we want to examine five additional doctrines that Jesus taught. And I believe our study will lead us to conclude, Jesus believed the Old Testament Scriptures. In preparing this lesson, I couldn't help but think about many years ago when I was just a little boy, attending Sunday school at the Springfield Church in Jacksonville, many, many years ago. I was blessed to have a number of godly Bible school teachers. And I think back on some of those teachers, and I have very fond memories. But I remember we studied these Bible lessons, several of which we're going to look at this evening. And we were taught from the time that we were kids that these things actually happen. How do we know that? Because the Bible tells us so. That used to be the pat answer. That used to be sufficient. Now people mock, ridicule, and blaspheme these great Bible stories that I've known from the time I was just a little kid. Well, we will see that Jesus believed the Old Testament Scriptures, even those Scriptures that tell us about events that many people do not believe ever took place. Well, the point that we want to make is, if we're going to be followers of our Lord, which we certainly want to do that, we're going to have the same convictions that he had. Now is not a time to be weak. Now is not a time to grow despondent. Now's the time to have some convictions on what the Word of God has to say. Well, Jesus had some convictions, and you know, he didn't compromise for the sake of people who didn't like what he taught. Jesus was always kind. He was always fair, I believe. But Jesus had some strong convictions when it came to the teaching of Scripture. He never compromised. Rather than compromise, Jesus gave his life. You know, all Jesus had to do was deny that he's the Son of God. All he had to do was deny what he'd been teaching throughout his ministry, and he could have lived. But we would not have our Savior. I don't know about you, but I'm glad our Lord did what he did on our behalf. Well, the first point we want to make is that Jesus believed the Genesis account of creation. The details of the creation are given in Genesis chapters 1 and 2. In chapter 1, we read about the 6 days of creation, and then we find that God rested on the seventh day. In chapter 2, we're given some additional details of what happened on day number 6, when God created man and woman. You see, he created them on the 6th day. We read about that in chapter 1. But then in chapter 2, we're given some additional details about when God actually created man from the dust of the ground. And then he created Eve from a bone from Adam's side. Well, I can remember as a little boy being taught that, and I believed it. Why? Because the Bible says so. Well, I want to point out that while it's unfortunate that many people reject the writings of Moses, especially concerning the creation, Jesus told us what he believed. Let's look at Mark chapter 13 and read verse 19. Mark chapter 13 and verse 19. Jesus said, "For in those days shall be affliction, such as was not from the beginning of the creation which God created unto this time, neither shall be." I want you to notice the terminology that Jesus used. I remember listening to a lecture a number of years ago. I believe it was Brother Alan Hires who was preaching on this. And he made a point from these very words. Jesus mentioned the beginning of the creation which God created. Now that's very specific, isn't it? God created everything at the beginning. Now many people don't believe that today, but Jesus did. I don't know about you, but on that last great day when I stand before the Lord in judgment, I don't want to try to explain to him that I didn't believe what he believed. I want him to know that I believe exactly what he believed. Well, Jesus didn't beat around the bush. He talked about the creation, and God was responsible for it. Well, how did our Lord know so much about that? Well, we know that he believed the scriptures, but keep in mind that Jesus was also present at the creation. Let's look at John chapter 1 and read the first 3 verses. I've made this observation many times that when John began his gospel, he did not begin with the Lord's birth. He did not begin with the work of John the Baptist. He went all the way back to the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now notice verse 3. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus is a member of the eternal Godhead. He was present at the creation, and he was involved in it. Now later, when the time was right, he came to earth in the flesh. Look at verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus was present at the creation. He knew who was responsible for it. He knew exactly what took place. So, the point we want to make is Jesus believed the Genesis account of creation. If we're going to be the Lord's true followers today, we're going to have the same convictions that he had. I know that's not popular, but what popular what is popular is not always right, and what is right is not always popular, but what is right is always right. Let's move on. Since we're in the beginning, in Genesis, Jesus believed that marriage is for one man and one woman. God's will for marriage from the very beginning is expressed in Genesis 2 and verse 24. I mentioned a few moments ago that in Genesis chapter 2, we're given additional details concerning the creation of man and woman. We find that God created male and female at the end of Genesis chapter 1, but then additional details are given to us in chapter 2. And notice God's will for marriage. Genesis 2 and verse 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Now you know as well as I do that many people reject God's plan in favor of all types of forms of fornication. But we're concerned with what Jesus believed. Let's look at Mark chapter 10. Let's begin at verse 6. Now, Jesus was asked a question by the Pharisees concerning marriage. This is a part of his response. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Jesus believed what was stated in Genesis 2 and verse 24. God revealed his plan for marriage at the very beginning. He hasn't changed his mind. When Jesus was fulfilling his ministry, he endorsed what was said way back in the Garden of Eden. And I think it's interesting when you go through the New Testament, the same verse is quoted by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 5 as he was talking about the responsibilities of husbands and wives. If we're going to be the Lord's true followers, we're going to have the same convictions that Jesus had. He believed that marriage is for one man and one woman. Not two men, not two women, or two people who can't even be identified. Marriage is for one man and one woman. Let's notice something else mentioned in the book of Genesis that Jesus believed. Jesus believed what Moses wrote about the great flood. Now, Moses wrote about the flood years after it took place. But Moses wrote about Noah and the great flood in Genesis chapter 6, 7, 8, and 9. For something that was so catastrophic and such an important event, Moses was able to write about it in a very condensed form, but keep in mind he was writing about it years after it took place. But Moses wrote about Noah and the great flood in that part of his book of Genesis. Now, it's unfortunate, but many people today reject the possibility that Noah, his family, and the animals were saved from the flood in the ark. Not only is the creation mocked and ridiculed, but you should hear and read comments that people, maybe you shouldn't, comments that people make about the great flood, about Noah, and the ark. I remember in Sunday school, We had some artwork, little pictures that we would color, showing the animals going into the ark. We believe that. Why? Because the Bible says so. Well, it's unfortunate, but many people mock and ridicule what the Bible teaches about Noah and the great flood. Well, we're not interested in what men say. We're concerned with what Jesus believed. So let's turn to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, we want to read verses 26 and 27. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. What did Jesus believe? What did Jesus believe? He believed that Noah lived. He believed that the great flood occurred. He believed that Noah built the ark. And he believed that those people and animals in the ark were saved from the great flood. And notice that Jesus believed that the flood destroyed them all. That is, everything that was outside of the ark. Our Lord was pretty definite, wasn't he? Well, it must have been a great event when Noah built that ark. I understand it was more like a large barge. The dimensions are given to us in the Bible, and by the way, not the actual size itself, but the dimensions of length, width, and height. Those same general dimensions have been used in shipbuilding for years and years and years. I find that to be very interesting. God told Noah what kind of wood to use in building the ark. I don't know what gopher wood is. That doesn't matter. Noah knew what it was, and that's what he used. I don't know what kind of tools that Noah had at his disposal, but I know one thing. He built the ark, and it saved everyone in it. I think I've mentioned this before, but I read an article one time that made a comparison between the ark and the Titanic. The ark was built by someone who was not a professional, but it withstood the great flood. The Titanic was built by professionals, and it sunk to the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean. How many people lost their lives? I just thought that was an interesting comparison. Jesus believed that the flood occurred. He believed that Noah built the ark. And he believed that the flood destroyed everything and everyone outside of the ark. If we're going to be the Lord's true followers, we're going to have the same convictions. Let's continue on. And we're just in the book of Genesis. We've got the rest of the Bible to go. Jesus believed that God destroyed the people of Sodom. Now Moses wrote about what took place in Genesis chapter 19. He showed what happened to the people of Sodom, and he showed what happened. He showed what the angels discovered when they went there. Moses wrote about Lot, his wife, and two daughters who were able to leave. But then Moses wrote about what happened to Sodom. It was destroyed. Not by a flood, but God rained fire and brimstone upon Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plain. Now, There are many people who reject the reason why God destroyed Sodom. The Bible makes it very clear. I heard one time that someone came up with the interpretation that God destroyed Sodom because the people there were not hospitable. Well, there was a much more serious sin than a lack of hospitality. But Jesus revealed his belief in Luke chapter 17. Let's read verses 28 and 29. We just read verses 26 and 27, where Jesus talked about Noah and the ark and the great flood. But let's look at verses 28 and 29. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. I don't have any problem understanding that, do you? Jesus believed that Sodom was destroyed. How? When God rained fire and brimstone upon it. Now, as I mentioned a few moments ago, there are some who do not accept the reason from the Bible as to why God destroyed a city. I can't help but think that God in his infinite wisdom must have anticipated that there'd be some controversy about this. So he had the Lord's brother write a passage that clears it up once and for all. Let's look at Jude and read verse 7. Jude's a very short letter. It was written by one of the Lord's brothers. And this passage is very direct. It's very clear. Jude verse 7 says, "Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire." Why did God destroy Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plain? It was because the people gave themselves over to fornication. They went after strange flesh. That is, they did not follow God's plan for marriage that he gave at the very beginning. Jesus believed that God destroyed the people of Sodom, and he knew why. To be the Lord's true followers, we're going to have the same convictions. Now let's go on through the Old Testament. We'll pick up the pace just a little bit. Jesus believed that Jonah spent 3 days in the belly of a whale. I remember once again as a little kid having the artwork and drawing the pictures of the great fish or the great whale, Jonah being in the belly of the fish and being given another opportunity to preach to the people of Nineveh. Well, that's a great Bible story. I was taught to believe that. Why? Because the Bible says so. I've not found a good reason to reject it. Now, many people do reject it. Now, the experience that Jonah had is found in chapters 1 and 2 of his book. All the details. Now, it's unfortunate, but many people do not accept what Jonah wrote. They claim that this is allegorical. Now, that's an expression that means they believe it's figurative. In other words, it's not to be taken literally. Well, let's let the Lord tell us what he believed. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Let's start at verse 38. Now, a request has been made by some of the religious people for Jesus to show them a sign. I don't know what other signs he could have shown them to prove that he's the Son of God. He had fed thousands of people with just a small amount of food on two occasions. He healed multitudes of people who had a number of diseases and sicknesses. He raised the dead. He calmed the storm on the Sea of Galilee. I don't know what else the Lord could have done to convince these people that he's the Son of God. He couldn't have done anything else to prove to them. They were just wanting to see him perform a sign. So in verse 38, certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, "Master, we would see a sign from thee." Now, in the Lord's response, let's let him tell us what he believed about Jonah. "But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here." Jesus believed that Jonah spent 3 days in the belly of the whale. Now, why did our Lord believe that? Because that's what's taught in the Old Testament scriptures, and Jesus believed the Old Testament scriptures. To be the Lord's true followers, we must have the same convictions that he had. Well, in our lessons today, we've looked at 6 doctrines that Jesus taught. This morning, we dealt with 1 doctrine that has to do with the fact that there is life after death. This evening, we've just looked at 5 additional doctrines. Now, the conclusion that we reach is Jesus believed the Old Testament scriptures just as they are written. Now, we have the Old Testament scriptures in English today. English was not even a language when Jesus was here on the earth fulfilling his ministry. But Jesus believed the Old Testament scriptures just as they've been given. We're fortunate today to have them translated into the English language. What we need to do is examine ourselves and determine and make sure that we have the same convictions that Jesus had. It's not popular today to stand up for what the Bible says concerning these matters, as well as many others that we could talk about. But as I said earlier, I'd hate to stand in front of the Lord on the great judgment day and explain to him why I did not believe the same things that he believed. I so much look forward to hearing the Lord say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But in order to hear those precious words, we have to have the same convictions that our Lord had. It's interesting that from those days when I was just a little kid in Sunday school, being taught these great Bible stories and believing them because the Bible says so, to the situation that we're in today. I saw some statistics on the news the other day that had to do with worship attendance. And I don't remember the statistics, the percentages and so forth, but I do remember this. The number has decreased greatly over the years. And you know, part of that is because of what people have been taught about the Bible. That is just a myth. That it's not the inspired word of God. That has had an effect on many people. But I think it's no coincidence that with a great decline in people attending worship assemblies, the world is not a better place. As a matter of fact, it's a whole lot worse. Oh, how we need to return to believing that God exists, that He is the Creator, and that He is the ultimate judge, and that the Bible is His holy word, and we will be held accountable for the way that we respond to it.